Right.
Okay. This is a meeting of the Consolidated Commission on Utilities. It's a regular board meeting, and for the record, those present are myself, Commissioner Chaco, Commissioner Sanchez, Commissioner Santos, and Commissioner Martinez. First up is approval of minutes.
Move to approve, Mr. Chair.
Okay, second. Second, Commissioner Sanchez. No further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Let's go straight to the GWA resolution. Or wait.
No.
GPA has?
Report.
Or report. GPA. Thank you. Your GM report, John. The short version, right?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very short version. Don't worry. Next month, we will have some listed assistance.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for the warning.
This year, will be the next discussion.
Okay.
Please, the
goodness.
Again, today up to 319 megawatts. Then you add another 4 megawatts from DOD.
We're on track to have a full recovery of what we advanced on behalf of ratepayers. Thank you.
August, and the meetings were given up in the still this year. Again, helping for getting air conditioning working. We're thinking where it has now is that we kind of make one quite more efficient. So now we're starting to see sales develop from new customers. But even new customers are taking advantage of the DJs.
So John, the fuel that's going to be pumped through the fuel pipe system.
Yeah. That's our fuel down from the big storage tank. Right. We have the 1935 batch in use certified and completed, and that's 260,000 barrels.
Mm-hmm.
So we're filling that up now to come up here. So up there you can store about 160,000 barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time will be done around the summer next year, certified. Remember those tanks now are 50 years old, but they can be certified now again.
So you're filling up those newly certified tanks from moving from Agility into your own tanks, or directly from the fuel barge that are coming.
So you're pumping fuel to the
tankers that are coming.
Some will be brought down just to fill up a little bit and do some testing. And then you have shipments that go straight to them. Because there's a Navy valve there to hold it. They set it up and you can send it straight to the tank. Again, I took some pictures. We started to see it all shift, but the Boston, this is the steam turbine area. The Boston turbines are here. Right? This is the treated water tank. This is the one that's going to come from the
northwest
wastewater and go treated. And then from here, it's going to go into the waves. There's a storage tank
for the oil.
What they're doing now is completing the dike around so that if there's a leak, it will be contained. What we've been doing is so taking it moving, and they have to get these things off of the leak and then start the Thank you. So that's the like the note, yes, that the John is working on the insurance, and that you know, for such a very difficult period for insurance because of all the catastrophes, looking at the whole insurance rate, that where it was increasing it up the areas. Basically, that's all I have today, Mr. Chair. And there's two other questions.
Any questions?
Thank you, John B.
Here will be ready next month.
Yeah. Do we have any questions for John Kim? Or John, basically, what else was it? You know, the LEAC that you're going to be, will be brought to us at the next month's meeting?
Yes.
I just want to check.
Yes, will be coming next meeting.
For our LEAC, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For the February
1. For the February 1.
But we are on track to fully recover that original advance of $48 million, which is in the current LEAC. So as long as the oil stays steady, then there looks like a good opportunity for some of the act on February 1. And then when Ukudu turns on next September, we will look at the August act will be hopefully very positively impacted for further reduction once Ukudu is open. The unknown, the uncertainty is the Middle East, as usual. But so far, the Middle East has not caused shock in oil prices yet, and hopefully it won't, but there are events beyond our control. But the key is that the renewables in Ukudu use significantly less fuel, and that's where you start to really begin to reduce power bills or what power bills could be, even if there was a crisis there. And the less fuel we use, the lower power bills will be, and the phase four renewables in Ukudu give us and the recovery of the $50 million, I guess I can reverse order, the recovery of the $48 million by February 1, which is on track, helps us. Ukudu, when it comes online next September, helps us even more. And then the renewables that you're going to bring to us, that we're evaluating now, we're looking at, I guess, next month, would add even another opportunity to reduce the amount of oil that we consume to provide people's power. You are able to reduce two-thirds of the bill significantly, that's how power bills will drop.
Okay. I just have one final question. We approved two of the phase four renewables, and so I just want to make sure in my mind up here on what the next steps are. Those will be brought to us at some point in the future. Or
the you approved already, now is that the PUC for approval.
Right.
If they approve that, we can contract to move forward.
Okay.
The balance of the four or so proponents are still going through the system impact study and other issues that they are to be solving. Once they're ready, in that September, we'll bring it to the CC.
Okay.
If that, in fact, they are ready.
Yeah. So that, I just wanted to make sure we understand that the two ones that we approve and are now before the PUC, once the PUC grants approval, those are ready to start going. Those are done. You'll finish, finalize the contracts, and we'll get going. Those. That's good. So we don't have to do anything anymore.
No, that's
just
190
some megawatts.
192 megawatts,
yeah.
With about 97 megawatts of energy storage battery.
Sure.
Storing enough energy to operate for 5 hours.
I like that because we want to get going. We don't want to have any more failures like we had. Or okay,
yep.
Senator, I mean, Commissioner Santos, you had a question. Did you have a question?
Yeah.
Your previous life.
Your previous life.
Move to recess. Can you die?
No.
Question, can we get a copy of the contract?
Yes, once we can give you, I think we have the KEPCO.
Yes, we have the KEPCO contract.
The ones that went to the ones we already approved.
Well, no, we never really got it, right? Terms
no,
and conditions.
We were working, we're still working.
Yeah.
Because you're waiting for the PUC.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure. How does the process work?
We, that's what I was trying to ask.
Do you have a draft?
But we're still working on it. It's a work in progress. It's very, very close to finish, but it's not quite done yet. So I think it would be best to give it to you when it's quite done.
So,
wait, stop. Prior to approval or... again, my question was, on a particular contract that we just approved, I never saw terms and conditions,
yeah.
Okay, or language that's pertinent to a contract.
We have the, what we have is a guideline in the bid, and so we're working through all those details, John.
I mean,
that's all fine and dandy, sir.
I would like to see
a
contract,
yeah.
Okay? That's,
yeah.
that's our sole duty here, so approve a contract. Okay, so again, I shared with Chairman Duenas, in the future, you will not combine projects. They'll be all separate, stand on their own, and be approved on their own. Okay, so, and again, if you can, share what you can.
Yes.
I used to this, there's parts of the contract that we'd like to see, terms and conditions, and of course, what the rates are going to look like.
Okay.
We're buying from these people now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the single most important thing. I think we need to remind our ratepayers that we're not in the power producing business, we're in the buying business.
Yeah.
So the good news is those prices are locked in their bid.
Yeah.
But the
thing, right.
Now we have to pay for it.
Right.
We have to create the contract.
And so, therefore, Marianne, I think as you go forward, when you bring us the resolution for each phase four proponent, then what you do is give us like the draft document, and once we approve it, it goes to the PUC, and once they approve it, then those documents get finalized.
Yes.
Okay?
And we should still approve the final, right?
Oh.
You always bring those back to us, right?
No.
Well, we can give you the contract, capability if you have any issues with it, but it's ready for...
Marianne, just a question. That's a good question.
It's not going to increase. It's not doing anything more on the terms and conditions of making sure that the infrastructure and any of the procedures or so are complete. But as far as we're not doing anything of that, there's a red line in our contract negotiations or details. It does not increase the price or it does not transfer any liability to GTA. But we can provided to the commission, and then if you know, it's just more a timing issue because you know, it's kind of time sensitive to get this most expensive capital contract into place. And so, again, if we have to keep bringing it back, and you know, that's the issue, but we will provide it,
okay?
And
yeah.
They can look, and if you have any issues, we can address it because, again, until we sign the contract, it's still.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Commissioner Santos.
One more question. The system impact study, SIS, is that open to the public for review or is that a proprietary document?
It's open after we're completed, right? Not right now. We're still being back and forth between our engineers saying this is the way, and they're saying, hey, we really need to do it this way, so they have to.
But once you bring it to us, John...
I mean, so the concept is I'm building a 60 meg solar farm, but the way it interacts with our system,
yeah,
that's actually highly technical.
Right.
But
like
you carry after they're done and agreed or disagreed or whatever, then you can do it.
But, okay, but I'm trying to make sure we have the process done. You know, this is like only our third time actually approving a solar contract. We've only approved two before this one, the one in Ludzon and the one in Marble. Those are the only two we've approved.
Manwar, we
did approve, but we're waiting to see when we have to redo some renegotiation.
Amended
the contract. Okay, so here's the thing. I want to make sure the process is shared. When you bring us the resolution for approval, of the next group, you know, one at a time. We want to do it one resolution at a time.
Okay.
There should be like a draft contract, and everything pertinent to the draft contract should be attached. Once we approve that, we send it to the PUC, and then the PUC approves it, and then that's when you sign the contract, right? Marianne, am I correct in the process? I just want to make sure.
Yes, we'll do it that way.
Yeah, so, okay.
Right? I have one more question.
Sure, Commissioner Santos.
The system impact study, that study is going to go through review by our friends at the PUC?
It's part of the contract, right?
No, I mean, we just went through GWA and a consultant that beat us to death.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Is this process also part of the process for this particular filing?
Not necessarily that they...
But they can?
If they want to, they can ask for it.
Okay.
But other than that, it's really highly technical, and it's really modeled and everything.
But it's part of the contract anyway.
Yeah.
It's part of the contract.
But it's a technical side of it.
Isn't that what we did with Georgetown Consulting when they got the technical for us in the sense that?
In fact, they will say you will put it, you will upgrade the transmission line to 115. So that will be in that and the what they call it.
That's what I'm saying. So those are in the draft contract.
Contract.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's
so if it's before the PUC, what kind of questions have they raised? Are we privy to that?
You have to end their meeting.
No.
I mean, they're going to ask the rating.
Right.
I'm not sure they ask about the technical interface per se, because they sort of know that's our job.
Yeah.
I mean, we're coming to them saying it meets the technical.
I'm just asking the question for Mr. Sanchez. Well, can we?
Well,
I mean, this is not just. I don't think it's going to be rubber stamped by the PUC.
But there's a limit to their role, right?
Then why do they hire a consultant that we have to pay for, Simon?
They look at the part
Come
of the role.
No, that's
they look at the rate impact. They're not going
to, I understand that.
Georgetown's not going to go look at how the technical interface.
Or whoever they decide to hire.
Or whoever
right.
they hire. Yeah. Doesn't go normally, I mean, we never know, right? But normally doesn't go look at the technical interface. They take it, we certify to them that we've reviewed it at their level than our level, and that it technically complies with our bid that was spec'd out, right? And now we're ready to, they meet our requirements, and so we're ready to proceed. PUC normally just says, what's the rate impact, which is really their primary purview, not to tell John how to make the sausage, right? He just says, this is the sausage we've agreed to make. It's going to have X rate or no rate or whatever the rate impact is. PUC looks at that. I think in the history of the PUC, I've never seen a consultant dive into, what is the I don't agree with the technical interface between this, this solar farm in Dundon and how it's entering the grid. I've never seen.
It's hard for them to even go there, because then if I pass the liability of those things to them, because do they want to be liable for all of this, making a technical decision of which proponents that know this system, right, must spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to prepare their past kids to all that, and you say, no, I don't want it because of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's how it kind of...
And once they approve, let's say the relationship blows up for some technical reason, 3 years after everyone's approved it. That's our burden, right? To say, hey, you said this, and this was the bid, and this is the interface, this is the technical agreement you said you would do, right? The PUC is not really equipped to be backup engineers to what our due diligence is supposed to be.
But I think Commissioner Santos is right. We should see the contract before.
Yes.
So I'd like to see
the
contract.
Most of that contract is going to be based on the
contract.
When you bring us the resolution, John. Yes. Commissioner Martinez has a question.
I just wanted to ask counsel. So when it's presented to the CCU, it's going to be in a draft contract?
Presented to the CCU or the CCU?
The resolution.
Or the resolution.
The resolution? It won't be final yet because it hasn't been approved, right? So, to have a final contract, you see it after approve it. So,
but it'll be attached to the resolution, right?
Yeah, we can do that. I'm going to do that for you.
Yeah, it'll be attached to the resolution.
Yes. Well, we really wanted to do that this time. It's just that it was such a work in progress.
Yeah. Okay. And the other thing that I want to make sure the commissioners understand is, in that contract, there are the milestones that they have to you know, deliver on. There's a milestone where they have to put money down. I remember from our Okudu plant, when we did that, they had to perform on this date, do this, right. Do that. And I'm imagining that would be the same thing that you're doing with the draft contract.
You put the deposit.
Yeah, whatever it is. Performance bond, they have to put in
the first year of operation contract.
Yeah, and that's a good example. Like the PhD consultant has no business saying, I don't like that milestone. That's not your role.
No, but we get to see those milestones.
No, we get to see it.
Yeah.
But once we send it to them, the PhD role, because I think Commissioner Thompson asked the right question, but in terms of do they go in and say, I don't like the technical interface that you've negotiated to make sure that solar farm comes online. I want the milestone change from June to September. One, that's not their role. And number two, I've never seen them dive into the weeds, that level of weeds. They arm wrestle on where it breaks.
Okay, Commissioner Chopper.
And then this contract, the one that you arrived, the first one, is going to be basically the boilerplate for the remaining awards, right?
That's good. Mm-hmm. Just again, you know, the technicality of the proponents, right? We have to, it addresses everything, of course, from force majeure or all of those different, not only the technical aspect, right? But technical aspect like the granting of the thing which we have said in the bid is going to be carried. Things like that would be important. But this, again, the key here is no liability is passed, meaning whatever happens on your side of the farm, biking or whatever,
like the flood is
maneuver,
right?
We are not liable to any financing organization that you are responsible to. And you know, that kind of happens when negotiations in the field, not understanding the best of their plan for all of it.
Yeah, and the reason why this is important is because, like for example, on Hanwha, we had to amend the contract. We had to make some changes. This one, if we can do it right, we don't have to make any changes. And that's all the requirements for them to put in their money, to show financial ability to actually pull it off and do all that stuff. They have to put all that. That's all in the draft contract. And that's fine.
Because each and every one of them can still come to a point once they have been told what is necessary, once we can agree, we can agree to walk.
They might walk away.
Any part, any penalty. Huh?
Yeah.
If they agree,
and they sign,
then they put down the deposit.
And then they're on the hook. Okay. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, John B.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John Kim.
Thank you.
I look forward to that at the next meeting. Maybe. Okay, thank you. Thank you.